about? It's our weekly catch-up with the National Party's Amy Adams.
Again, not Amy Adams, but hello, Denise. How you going?
Hi, Laura. Yeah, no, again, I'm not Amy Adams.
No,
hey, but I do wish that my last name started with A, because then I'd be right at the top of the ballot paper.
But not so.
I'm an L, L for Lee.
Try and get that, like, preferential treatment with that last A.
Yeah, no, it would be handy.
Yeah, definitely. So are you enjoying the Auckland weather today, or are you around the country somewhere else?
No, I'm in Auckland, and boy, is it hot. It's just that, you know, you walk outside and it feels like a blow waver set on high is just in your face. It's really... someone told me that there might be cyclone weather coming next week, though. Have you heard that?
No. I don't think I'm prepared for that.
Yeah, no, and that person who told me is going camping next week, so good luck.
Yeah, that sounds terrifying. I'll pass. Mm-hmm. No camping for me. So let's jump into it. Talks this week about a central Green Party and national kind of backing the idea of a center Green Party coming into play. Can you tell me a little bit about national stance on that?
Yeah, well, look, personally, Laura, I haven't been in any talks, and I certainly haven't seen anything concrete about new parties. However... you know, a genuinely green party in the centre, standing up for the environment, it could be a valuable addition to New Zealand politics. For our purposes, though, I think the number one thing we need to think about as the National Party is just making sure that we're going for it, presenting a strong alternative government, regardless of what other options may or may not end up floating around.
And so, of course, as you and I both know, when it comes to each political party, they work to try and represent the viewpoints of certain portions of the population. So Simon Bridges came out and he kind of said there are people who might align with the Green Party in some situations, but feel they don't represent them necessarily. So I'm wondering, what do you think the Green Party might be missing that is alienating some people?
Well, we've always known for a long time now that on social issues, they'd be considered pretty much on the liberal side of the spectrum. And I think for some people, maybe it's not so much where they stand on, you know, conscience vote issues. It's more that they would expect a Green Party to be more squarely environmental and less social. And I think that repels some people. So, look, I can't answer on behalf of those who would comment or have an opinion on the Green Party. I just know that there could very much be, you know, an additional space for a centre, genuinely Green Party, focuses on environmental issues, really cares about the green economy and what New Zealand can do with that.
And so with that, Simon Bridges has also said that he would back a rising central Green Party. And with the 2020 election in mind, do you think National's looking for allies in other parties?
Well, what it's safe to say about the National Party is we've got to be our own credible alternative first and foremost. So we can talk about additional partners till we're blue in the face, no pun intended. But at the end of the day, if we're not the first and foremost credible alternative, it doesn't matter what other parties emerge or don't emerge. The country won't see us as the primary driver for change.
Interesting. And coalitions have been a really interesting thing across basically New Zealand's governmental history. In my mind, a national has kind of run out of options with coalition parties because, of course, we've lost the Maori Party last election, and then Greens have said they'll never want to be in a coalition with National. And ACT only takes up one seat, so is it kind of, there aren't many options out there for National to go into coalition?
Yeah, well, look, maybe I missed the memo, Laura, but the Green Party haven't ruled out working with the National Party forever and a day. They just do what a lot of parties do, a case-by-case, election-by-election basis. So I wouldn't say that's ruled out. The look, I'll just go back to what I said earlier, Laura. I mean, we coalition forming is a really tricky, complex, and very situational thing. You know, we were all, remember the country was waiting to form a government because we were waiting for Winston's decision. It was extraordinary. It hit international news, the number of weeks we had to wait. And he's not just done it once, he's done it three times. So it is something that you kind of have to wait. Now we've got another two years or so before we traverse this stuff. But for now, we are polling 46%. It's extraordinary that we're doing that this far after the election and we're the opposition. And so we are definitely seeing as a credible alternative and a government in waiting, and we've just got to put all the horsepower behind that.
Mm. I'm going to shift on to Bridger's announcement this week for income tax brackets, which has been interesting. So can you tell me a bit about that?
Yeah, so if you're on the average wage, and maybe that doesn't quite hit the student bracket, but hopefully very soon after, emerging out of study, you might be on the average wage. It's predicted that right now, that by 2022, so not long away, that if you're on the average wage, you will actually move into the top tax bracket. So that doesn't sound fair for anyone who'd be earning the average wage, that just by what you call tax bracket creep, you'll end up on the top tax rate unless something's done. And what we've just committed to just a couple of days ago is adjusting the tax brackets every 3 years. So we have an election, and straight after the election, we adjust the tax brackets in line with the cost of living. So what that does is just make sure that inflation doesn't unfairly hit you for your tax burdens. So if you're on the average wage, you'll be, with adjustments, $430 better each year off. So that would be the first year. In the second year, it would be $900. And in the third, $1,900. So it's a very real difference to people on the average wage. And all it is just making sure that there's an auto response whatever government's in, an auto response the year after the election.
Mm. You brought up $430 a year. According to my sources, on Thursday, Simon Bridges had it drop to $400 a year. Is there a bit of muddling in figures there?
Oh, I'm happy to check that, but my understanding is 430, but if it's 400, I can check the records for that, Laura. But, you know, the point is that, you know, why should someone on the average wage continue to pay their taxes and not get, get unfairly treated just because of tax bracket creep? You've actually got to come in, be really clear, be really definitive, and make sure that those changes happen regardless of the government.
Mm. I've just done a really quick search here. So apparently it was 430 a year, but now it's 400. And Grant Robertson, finance minister, as you know, has said that he's basically said Simon Bridges' kind of commentary, his proposition is deflating before our eyes. Is that a fair comment in your eyes?
Well, to be honest, Laura, if we're going to haggle over $30, it would be great if everyone on the average wage got $30 more. That's probably just a typical exchange between Grant Robertson and someone who he sees he can get a quick line on. The end of the day, this is something that will actually make a big difference. Whether it's 400 or it's 430, it's still a lot of money for someone to keep in their pay packet and put towards rent, put towards, you know, groceries, put towards paying off student loans, whatever it is.
Mm. I'm just going to jump on to something else. So as your press sec let you know, I got a call last week after our show by someone who was discussing a few different things that were brought up. Mm-hmm. And so they were talking about Mana Whenua and property development. And I was curious, as the electorate for Mangakiki. How important is it in your eyes to engage with Mana Whenua in Auckland?
Oh, massively. And a lot of the processes for that are already in place. That's probably not a lot of. They just are. They're already in place. So as you and your listeners may or may not know, I was an Auckland City Councillor before I was an MP. And the area that I represent is Mangakiki, which is the Māori name for One Tree Hill. So just that area alone, there is massive development coming, housing in Onehunga, over in Glen Innes, St Patmio, with Tamaki Redevelopment Company. All of these areas have processes locked in to engage with mana whenua. For instance, the Auckland Council has what they call the IMFB, Independent Māori Statutory Board. So they are monitoring all that Auckland Council does. They have two votes on the primary committees. And then in addition, all mana whenua iwi groups have representation on the Kaitiaki Forum. So if you're looking at any major planning consents or projects in Pānuku, who are the property wing of council, they have to use the Kaitiaki Forum every time they're doing something of significance. So the answer is mana whenua are absolutely treated fairly, taken seriously and engaged with everything that's of importance and significance in terms of development.
Mm. I did want to quickly touch on the RMA. So do you think with national stance that there should be some re-evaluation of it? Do you think it would ever compromise mana whenua?
No, I really don't. So, you know, there needs to be RMA reform, and a lot of people agree with that. Let's see who actually comes up with the solutions to that. And we're very confident on that side of things, working really solidly on that reform as we speak. But we all know that mana whenua needs to be consulted and engaged, and that will be the intentions going forward.
And I'm just going to jump very quickly onto something else that was brought up in the phone call last week, which was homelessness. Would you say that your electorate is particularly bad with homelessness?
I don't know but particularly bad, but we definitely have it. And it's actually really serious. And I think one person is one person too many. I don't know if the problem has shrunk recently. I know from my local work, I've been involved in housing action groups, for example, Onehunga in my area. We know there are 8 people who sleep rough for that side of things. I mean, we even had one really heartbreaking scenario last year where Keith, who was well known to us in the community, died on a park bench outside St Peter's Church in Onehunga. Now, Keith, you know, this is part of the complexity of the situation. Keith wanted to sleep rough, and he died of alcohol-related issues. But the fact is, we knew him, we loved him, and we cared for him. I'm really proud that in our electorate we have some really cool networks that look out for people who are homeless and for sleeping rough, you know, and other associated ways that people aren't accommodated. So we've got, you know, Citizen Vice Group is really active. We've got a business association that are able to even see people on CCTVs. They're really active, and they come and wrap their arms around and support them with 2 really local active churches. We've got a homeless action group. So look, in my patch, the situation still exists, but there are some really cool services for it, Laura.
I'm just going to ask my final question, the most terrifying one that comes out, the personal one.
last week it was, what was it? What's my ideal partner? And given I'm single, I was like, whoa, okay.
Well, you
putting
know.
It out there.
Well, I mean, I don't think I'm going to get that deep this week.
Yeah, no,
this
okay,
week.
Right.
I'll give you a little bit of a break. Yeah. So this week it's, what's your favorite ice cream?
Oh, there we go. Okay, I'm going to go from the sublime to the ridiculous. You asked me ideal partner. This week I'm going to tell you my favourite flavour is vanilla. Can you believe it?
Vanilla?
That sounds so boring, doesn't it?
No, but I feel like it's the one that everyone loves. It's the most, like, it's a classic. You can't beat it.
Oh, okay. Now, there you go. Can I hire you for my spin? That would be awesome.
Absolutely. I'm here. Get in contact. We'll talk.
Oh, too funny.
Oh, well, thank you very much for talking to me this week, Denise.
Cheers, Laura. You take care.
You too. Have a good one.
Yeah. Bye.
The National Party's Amy Adams on 95 BFM.
The Wire.